17:20. Chapter 17:20.
I didn't know which was more comfortable.
When you do that, I could go down North Houston to real Buggy. And then we have new traffic. Yeah, I just remember Carol from Knudsen and her difficulties up there. And so we threw her out of town for that. All right.
And Michael.
And Michael, well, yeah, obviously. Okay. Michael, Randy, yeah. All right, 17:20. He who has a crooked mind finds no good, and he who is perverted in his language falls into evil. Well, I don't know. That one is really, you've got a crooked mind, you don't find any good in anything or anyone. And yeah, if you're always bitter, cynical, whatever it is. And the truism on the second part, too, that if you're perverted, you know, in your language, you're going to fall into evil. You're going to get in trouble. There's going to be mischief. There's all kind of things involved. That's a good truism about crooked minds, perverted language. Just really no good is going to come out of it.
Kind of go together, don't they?
Out of the heart. Yeah, out of the heart comes the thoughts of man and also mm-hmm. the words.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah. And we've seen in the past that sometimes a perverted person doesn't really perceive it as evil. They may take pleasure in mischief and doing things like that. Okay.
And you're talking to someone sometimes when they let their anger get away, and or they talk and they use bywords and that kind of thing. You know, they said, "Well, you know, it just slipped out." You know, and I said, "But I have a good heart, and the Lord knows my heart." That's their favorite. I've got from some of my family. You know, the Lord knows my heart. You know, but. That's not what the Lord says. The Lord says it's out of the heart comes those words. You know,
yeah.
Everyone can misspeak sometimes,
yeah.
You know, but as a way of it and just continuously or ongoing, not stopping it.
And we find ourselves misspeaking and we react very, very quickly to a situation. Okay. That's interesting. All right.
There are people who judge other people by their own motives. Like if you do something with nothing but the best of intentions and they see what you're doing and they judge your actions by how they would do something and they automatically think badly of what you've done.
Mm-hmm.
And that's hard to get around. There are a lot of people like that.
You know an instance like that?
I've been married to people like that.
Jesus ran into that all the time.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But it's all over.
Well, I was thinking, you know, you're down at the Walmart and you get change back and they give you an extra $10 bill.
Yep.
The people of the world say, you'll give that back.
No.
See? And you're really condemned for doing what's right, aren't you?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I did that one and they gave me $50 too much. I told him to go to recount it and he recounted.
Yeah, yeah. So, all we do is teach in those situations.
Few people would do that, I don't think.
Yeah. Of course, you find a dollar on the ground at Walmart. I mean, just saying that's different. You know, who's going to come back for a dollar, you know, and you turn it into the desk? And it's that's interesting. One has to, you know, deal with themselves on. Okay. Number 21. Family. Talking about family. He who sires a fool does so to his own sorrow. And the father of a fool has no joy. Well, what kind of son do you think they got?
A fool.
A fool. That could almost be a daughter, couldn't it? All right? Yeah. All right? And what does a fool love to do? What would sorrow a father that we've seen?
Not listen.
Not
to
listening.
Any kind of good counsel.
Yeah. A selfish person. One who starts strife. Language, when it doesn't respect them. See? Okay? Is that the father's fault?
Could be. Sometimes. It didn't train him.
It depends, doesn't it? Okay? It depends. But in the end, the person still has the choice, don't they? The free will choice. Okay?
Seems like that of a fool is affects someone else because the father has no joy. Then
mm-hmm.
This is the parents is affected also.
Yep. Even in this case, it could be he sees how the sire's offspring treats others, and that shows some disrespect on him, or even the way he treats his parents. Okay, so it's interesting the effects of folly on family and others.
You know, that is one of the not to toot my horn, but that was one of the things that sometimes helped me to make a decision not to go against, you know, the rule, because I knew what it would do to my parents. Mm-hmm. You know. And I did not want to hurt my mother's heart. And so, you know, even when you're torn, or when your friends are trying to, you know, get you to go, you know, and you know it's against the rule. And because, you know.
Yeah. It's interesting to see the word sorrow and joy, two opposites, but they, yeah. Interesting, okay? All right, 22. A joyful heart is good medicine, but a broken spirit dries up the bones. Okay? A joyful heart, a cheerful heart, and the idea of medicine and dries up the bones give the idea of healing. So a cheerful heart is good medicine. It heals. It's cheerful. It's sunny.
They say laughter is always the best medicine.
Yeah. Good health. Right. Okay? And but a broken spirit dries up the bones. Well, what's a broken spirit? Maybe you're depressed. Maybe you're discouraged. When it dries up the bones, that's deep. That's in the deep places in you. Okay? And
David said in Psalm 32, when I kept sighing about my sin, my body wasted away, but my groaning all day long, all day and night, thy hand was heavy upon me. My vitality was drained away as the fever heat of summer. And then, of course, this is after his sin with Bathsheba.
So our inner disposition really affects our health and life and relationships and everything, doesn't it? Okay? Sometimes it's called clinical depression these days or whatever. You have a pill for it and on and on and on. But those sort of things. So, 23. A wicked man receives a bribe from the bosom to pervert the ways of justice. Now, to pervert the ways of justice. Now, this again, this could be a judge in view or something, okay, or judging other people's. But a wicked man receives a bribe from the bosom.
New King James has behind the back.
Okay.
Yeah.
So it's the idea
under the table.
Under the table
transaction.
You know, a secretive kind of thing. It's kind of, I was thinking the idea you, if you're in cards and you're holding close to your chest, kind of a secret kind of thing, close to the bosom, okay? So, in other words, they don't tell anybody, do they? But they receive the bribe. And as a result of that, the ways of justice are perverted, aren't they? Okay? You don't want judges like that, okay? Or in business, even. 24. Wisdom. So, the power of bribe is pretty strong, isn't it? Okay? Pretty strong, whatever the bribe form takes. Okay? Wisdom is in the, number 24. Wisdom is in the presence of the one who has understanding, but the eyes of fools are on the ends of the earth. Wisdom is in the presence of one who has understanding. What's in the presence? They use it, maybe?
It's readily available.
It's readily available. There's another verse that says, before the face, okay, which kind of goes with eyes in the second part. All right? It's a person who gives close attention to things. They're kind of a focused person. All right? But the
they
eye...
deal with it here and now, too. Don't you think, Doug, instead of the eyes on the what might be and the pot at the end of the rainbow, you know, type of thing.
Which is exactly the second part. But the eyes of a fool, where are he at? You don't, the here and now, give close attention to what he's doing. No, they're on the ends of the earth. They're stretched out. They're not focused. Maybe scattered. No direction. He's not focused on deeds that he needs to work on now, you know. And sometimes we need to watch that too, don't we? You know, to get to a destination, well, there's a... If you want to go from here to the building, do you just bang you're there? You got to take steps, don't you?
So in each of those steps, you watch when you step out here, we don't step across the curb or step off the end and sprain your ankle, or you make sure the door is open. There's a lot of steps along the way in there. Okay?
So that's the way a fool kind of looks at the end game and look at what he's doing. Okay. 17:25. A foolish son is a grief to his father,
yeah boy,
and bitterness to her who bore him. Classic. The foolish, rebellious son brings sadness to the father, and we know that. And there's the mother now, and bitterness to her who bore him. Okay? We've seen that over and over. Kind of the same idea up here that it brought sorrow and joy in 21. All right? Same idea. And can you imagine the idea that, again, is it the parents' fault here? Let me say this.
Not necessarily. It could be, but not necessarily.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And we've mentioned before that people all still have free will, don't they? Okay? And so it's... How do you recognize that your father views you as giving in grief, or your mother views you as a bitter blow or distasteful to you? How does the person recognize that?
You better be rebuking and correcting and talking to, communicating.
There's evidence from the parents in there, okay, of trying to correct, aren't they? Or trying to show forth what's going on with the son and the daughter, okay?
Eli didn't, and the Lord, you know, responsible for
them. Okay. 26. It is also not good to fine the righteous, nor to strike the noble for his uprightness. Now that fine, what I'm seeing that is, it's not good to fine the rebellious. That's the idea of a charge of some sort. Say in a traffic, I'm just saying traffic court or something. Okay? And you, if you find the rebellious, it's not the idea that they're not, or the righteous. It's not the idea that they were guilty. They should have a fine, shouldn't they? Okay? But if you look in the second part there, it's the idea that it's a false charge brought against them. You shouldn't find the righteous. And that would be only because of false charges, wouldn't it? Okay? And nor to strike the noble for his uprightness. That's just the idea that there's a... to the nobles, there should be a fair judgment for them, and also a fair judgment for others. Fair judgment. Don't do things that bring false charges, or even if a noble is doing good, there's no need to strike them. It's interesting. There's a lot of things about leaders and kings and nobles in there. That's who, I guess, David talked to, wasn't it, a lot? Trying to keep them in line, because he knows what? If you got leadership that is fair in their judgment, and right in their judgments, then that trickles down, doesn't it? Okay, to all the people they appoint and how they're viewed by the people in it.
So this is noble as position or noble as noble?
I'm thinking of noble as a position. Okay. Of course, yeah. I guess it could go the other way, too, being a good. The idea of corresponding to the word good. 27. He who restrains his words has knowledge, but he who has a cool spirit is a man of understanding. Well, if you restrain your words, how does that show you have knowledge? What?
Self-control.
Self-control. You have maybe a person, if you restrain your words, it's either the words you choose or you're a person of few words, aren't you? See? And if, let's say you're a person of few words. What does that necessarily imply if you're saying few words and you're gaining, and you want to gain knowledge?
That the word, well, you can say few words, but the words that you say have impact.
Yes. Now, a fool tends to talk quickly. He tends to talk rashly, foolishly, without gathering facts, without listening. Okay, so maybe a person a few words, okay, has listened too, hasn't he, before he comes up with it, okay? And he who has a cool spirit is a man of understanding. That's interesting, cool spirit. I was looking that up, a calm spirit, a reserved manner, okay? Not so much a quiet person, okay? But again, one who is defying the idea that being few words restrains his words. Okay? Even the idea of restraining words, can you say words that start strife? Is it the tone you use?
Well, yeah, things like that. It's the opposite of heated. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Heated.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right, isn't it? The hot spirit, okay, hot headed. Okay? All right, good point. Okay. 28. Even a fool, when he keeps silent, it's kind of the same, is considered wise. When he closes his lips, he is considered prudent. This is even a fool. And that's right, isn't it? Okay? Even a fool, there's some hope for him, I guess. Okay? And it's the way you perceive. Okay? Now, I've got
to deal with it. If they don't say anything, you really don't know maybe what they're thinking or, you know.
Yes, that's right, isn't it?
But their foolishness doesn't show because they're not speaking.
That's right. So looking at them, say, well, they're listening. Okay? They're not being quick-tempered. Okay? So even a fool, I guess, if they're doing attributes that show a wise behavior, you can be considered wise. So there's outward things, then there's the point. There's outward things that show one's wise, okay? Or prudent, or has forethought, and that sort of thing. So it's interesting. Okay, that's 17. Lesson 7, we'll go through that. Okay, lesson 7, number 1. By what is iniquity or sins atoned? By what is it? What do you deal with?
Mercy and truth.
Okay, where'd you get that?
16:6.
Okay. And the motivation behind that truth and mercy and loving kindness is the fear of God, isn't it? Fear of the Lord. All right. Good. 2. Why is it an abomination for kings to commit wickedness? Why is it? In 16:12.
That is established on righteousness.
Okay. And again, we mentioned a while ago that God wants leaders to be honest, fair, thoughtful. Okay? All right. Because that just trickled down the whole way, just. All right. 3. What precedes destruction and fall?
Pride.
16:18, didn't it? Pride and arrogance. What's another word? When you elevate
self.
Okay? Selfishness, isn't it? All right?
Self-righteousness.
Sure. That's exactly
haughty.
Right. What precedes destruction and fall? What is the what could be the destruction and the fall? How does it manifest itself? If you're a selfish person, self. Okay, how does it manifest itself?
You act foolishly because you ain't unlovingly, and you don't listen because you think you know it all, and so therefore.
So, for people view you as, if you think you know how people view you, as arrogant. But how do you know that there's a destruction of fall? What's the evidence? Are we just talking final judgment with God?
Because they go ahead and do whatever they want. They don't take into account any of the consequences for anything.
Yes. Okay. And if you start defrauding people, or hurting people, okay, some people will get you back, aren't they? See? Okay. Especially if you deal with another fool. Okay. So, there's things in life. We just talked about health a while ago. If you don't have a good disposition, see, it's going to be health issues. There's all kinds of things involved. All right.
But this destruction and stumbling, it can be in this world, but it is absolutely. I mean, you know, we can talk about spiritual destruction, versus spiritual good.
Well, if you're a completely selfish person, how does that help in a marriage? Is a marriage going to fall or be destructed?
If you're
come to ruin?
Selfish, yeah.
Yeah, see, it's interesting, isn't it? All right? Especially you get two of them in it. All right? So it's a lot of evidence as well as kind of given with those sort of things. All right. Where are we at? 4. What are the effects of pleasant words?
They soothe. They calm.
Okay.
Okay. All right, 1624.
And 1621.
Six. Pleasant words are honeycomb. Yep, 1621. Sweet to the soul and healing to the bones. Mm-hmm. A minute ago we talked about the bone. That's the inner part of you, isn't it? Real deep. Okay. So there's good things that affect you really deep. Okay. Good things using pleasant words. Encouragement. Encouragement goes deep to the bones, doesn't it? See? All right. Especially honest encouragement. All right. Number five. Who is able to separate intimate friends or split intimate friends? Who does that in 1628? Slanderer, right? Gossiper or perverse person? It's interesting on that. I was looking at it on 1628. Perverse man spreads strife. A slander separates intimate friends. Those words for separates and spreads, it's used another time, and it was used in Judges 15, that apparently they wanted to start a fire in some wheat fields, and they tied foxes' tails together, you know, and put a torch in between. So the fox run out, and as the two foxes run, they spread the fire particles throughout the whole field and burn it up. So that spreads fire. Interesting. Okay? Interesting.
Also
all right.
In 779.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah. Okay.
It's just a tailbearer. You know, one goes and doesn't have to absolutely slander, you know, add falsehood to it, you know, with intent to hurt. They just open their mouth when they shouldn't. Doesn't keep confidence.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's exactly right. Number six, what is better than a house full of sacrifice and feasting with strife? What's better than that?
A dry morsel with quietness.
And what are we going to translate those into in life?
Less means with more love.
Okay. Does less means mean more love?
No.
But it's certainly a start, isn't it? Okay.
No, it's just better than.
Yeah, better than, that's right. Especially when you have that anger and all that sort of thing associated with it. Okay. With strife. Humble living. Seven. What is better for a man to meet rather than a fool in his folly?
Bear robbed of the cubs.
Yeah. Okay. All right. All right. And we made that discussion before. Eight. Who loves at all times?
A friend, 1717.
Mm-hmm. Who is born for adversity? Yeah, and the way we dealt with that, remember, was the idea that brothers like family, and that's just something expected of them, sort of, you know, to deal with family issues. And not that that's wrong, but it's kind of expected. But when you got a real friend, that's one who chooses to deal with your life and your situations. See? Okay, so just consider that. All right. Nine. What are the different effects of a merry, joyful heart and a broken, crushed spirit? What are the effects of that?
What's good medicine.
Huh?
Joyful heart is good medicine.
Okay.
Broken spirit dries up bones.
Okay. I put two words on that. Joyful encourages, and a crushed spirit discourages. One encourages, one discourages. Okay? And even demoralizes to a respect, doesn't it? Okay? Number 10. When is a fool counted as wise, and when is a fool counted as one who is understanding?
He keeps his mouth shut.
Yeah, that's right. Choose his words, be silent, okay? He's perceived to be that way. And while his mouth is shut, hopefully his mind is not wandering. It's listening, isn't it? All right? Good, good, good. All right. Chapter 18, Proverbs 18. Okay. I think we'll just keep going, even today and Wednesday. Now, 18:1. He who separates himself seeks his own desire. He quarrels against all sound wisdom. Okay. He quarrels against all sound wisdom. Quarrels, argues, right? Okay.
New King James says he rages.
Rages.
Against all wise judgment.
That's right.
And he just refuses.
Okay.
Separates himself from what?
That's right. So he separates himself and seeks his own desire. Is it true that people quarrel against sound wisdom are people who must isolate themselves?
No.
Not necessarily.
That's what we're saying here. That's what we're saying. Is it people who tend to fight against sound wisdom are people that tend to isolate themselves or unfriendly people?
And
because they don't want to hear the other.
So you're not saying isolate yourself in the house. You're saying a group isolating together.
He who separates himself seeks his own desire. Okay?
You're trying to talk to your child and try to get them to understand that their behavior is unwise. And what do they want to do? They want to go into their room and slam the door. They don't want to listen.
Yeah. See?
Okay. The door comes off the hinges.
So what is the idea? Yeah, la 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 la.
Right. Roll their eyes. Yeah. Put their earphones in and boom.
Okay. So it's interesting. It's just interesting. Okay. You're trying to separate, isolate yourself. Because you just don't want. It's interesting. Okay, I think that's what that one means. Okay,
but you can do that standing in a room full of people.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah. And this idea of quarreling against others, argues others, or rages against others. Rage is a stronger word.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I think in the way we perceive it.
And he can do that, even that quarreling in his own mind. You know, I'm not going to believe I'm listening to this again.
So it's interesting. Okay. And that person tends to be an independent person or self-centered or selfish and those kind of things. So it's interesting. Interesting wisdom there in number one. Now, interesting in number two, a fool does not delight in understanding but only in revealing his own mind. Kind of goes with it a little bit.
Well, he doesn't listen to anybody but himself.
He doesn't delight in understanding. If he separates himself, then only revealing his own mind. Because I'm the only one talking. I'm going to do the quarreling, okay? I'm going to talk and refuse to hear others and quarrel with others. So it's kind of go together a little bit. And if he's revealing his own mind, what's he doing? He's reflecting his own desire, isn't he? Just like up in number one, okay? And he's airing his own opinion. And when someone else starts talking, no, don't want to hear it. Okay, number three. When a wicked man comes, this is a tough one. When a wicked man comes, contempt also comes, and with dishonor comes scorn. Okay? A wicked man, when he's in the presence, there's just contempt, dishonor, and disgrace, and shame comes. And then when that comes, it's dishonor and scorn and reproach and inferior and unworthiness, all kind of things happen, okay? Humiliation, disgrace. Man, when wicked guys are around, it's just a bad situation. I think is what I'm getting at, okay? And because he's wicked, man, he's sin, everything he does really brings disgrace and scorn, honor. It's just a lot of shame. It's just a bad situation to be around. Okay, I think that's what all this means here, okay? And honor and dishonor are big words, okay? And that's how other people react to him. Number four, the words of a man's mouth are deep waters. The fountain of wisdom is a bubbling brook. So, we got people talking, and deep waters is contrasted with bubbling brook. Now, deep waters here, let's call deep waters let's call them still. What we know about a bubbling brook?
It's continuously running.
Moving in it, okay? What do you know about deep waters in reference to depth? Maybe.
You don't know how deep it is.
Right.
Because it's still, you can't see. It's usually deep waters, you can't look down and see how deep it is.
There, exactly. Okay, what I'm getting at, the idea, deep waters, of the words of a man's mouth, it's not a fool now, the words of a man's mouth in general are deep waters. There's mystery involved. there you can't see it. There's some darkness, and maybe there's a possibility to deceive. Now, but the fountain of wisdom, what comes out of one of wisdom is a bubbling brook. It's maybe shallow, moving. It's viewable.
Easily
seen. Yeah, okay. So, what I'm getting here is, generally, out of peoples, there's a mystery and darkness involved, and the ability to deceive. But from wisdom, you can see what's there. It's viewable. It's a flowing brook. It's maybe better. Okay, that's the idea. I think that's the idea of that. Okay, deep waters with bubbling brook, a flowing brook. Number five, to show partiality to the wicked is not good, nor to thrust aside the righteous in judgment. Sounds like judges, doesn't it? Okay, could be judges. We saw it a while ago. How do you show partiality to the wicked? And if you show partiality to the wicked in past experience, we've seen what maybe a bribe involved could be. Okay.
Or you listen to their what they're talking about rather than following God. Maybe it's what they're suggesting or doing. Mm-hmm. You're listening to them instead of to what you know.
That's
be right.
So what you know, see, that's the second part. No, to thrust aside the righteous in judgment. If you thrust them aside, okay, you know, what are we doing? We're maybe not giving them a chance to speak. Maybe we're depriving them of their rights. See? Okay.
I think we make judgments every minute of our lives. And I think this is a warning to us that we, even if we're being coerced, or if it's, you know, if we think that we might stand in judgment of others, or, you know, them judging us or something, that we may not choose to stand with the righteous. We may choose to show partiality to the wicked. Or that, and when showing partiality to the wicked, we don't make a stand for righteousness. We just, you know, just stand there.
We're not brave enough to take a stand because of the consequences. Okay?
But in truth, we're showing partiality to the wicked.
Yes. And we can show partiality also because we just agree with them. Yeah, and you want to promote your cause. Okay, your ideas. So, you've got to be real careful when you've got wicked people, and everybody knows what's wicked, okay, and wrong, when you show partiality to them or favor them over the righteous. Okay? You shouldn't do that.
And you can do that in family.
All right.
Very easily. You can do that in family.
I guess so. Okay, good. All right, six. A fool's lips bring strife, and his mouth calls for blows. Well, we know talking, okay? You can really put some contentious talk out there, and that'll bring some strife. And his mouth calls for blows. So he's more than just talking in his lips. His mouth is now saying what you should do to other people. Let's think of mobs. Mob rule. The instigator of mob rule, what are they saying? He's guilty? Let's hang him? Okay, who cares about trial? Let's hang him. See? So his mouth calls for blows and beatings and things like that. Alright? So even beyond the strife, he wants to go even farther. And he's advocating, okay, for that. So be careful when you hear someone advocating strife. All right. Anyway. Seven. A fool's mouth is his ruin, and his lips are the snare of his soul. Well, we've seen that. A fool's mouth is his ruin. I mean, in the end, you know, destruction is going to come. It's going to come out of that, out of his mouth. And his lips are the snare of his soul. Now, he's catching himself, isn't he? Okay, his words are going to capture his soul. If he captured himself, that means he set his own snare for himself, didn't he? A snare, it captured your soul. And does that mean that there's really no one to blame but himself because he snared himself? The answer is yes. So you're responsible for your own actions in the end. Okay. All right. Because what you do is really what's going to happen to you. Number 8. The words of a whisperer are like dainty morsels, and they go down into the innermost parts of the body. Well, Don, you were kind of talking a while ago about that. This idea of a gossiper, what's a dainty morsel?
Not a lot, just a little.
Do you want more? Let's take M&Ms.
It's kind of like a man who doesn't say a whole lot. Back up in 27, mm-hmm. he restrains his words.
Yeah. Okay.
But what he says, but the few words that he says, kind of speaks volumes.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Okay. And they go down to the innermost parts of the body. Innermost parts. That's like up to the bone, isn't it? See? These little things. These little whispers and gossips. Okay? They got some appeal to them. Okay? And people tend to like more. But remember, they'll go deep into you and affect your decisions. Okay? And number 9. He also who is slack in his work is brother to him who destroys. He also is slack in his work. What kind of person would that be? You're slack in your work.
Slugger.
Lazy.
Lazy. Lazy, negligent. Okay. His brother to him who destroys. Let's just say the word brother, say what partner to him who destroys.
That's like passive aggressive.
Yeah. Okay. You know, here's one who destroys, and here's one who's lazy.
They're both good. Accomplishing the purpose, the same purpose.
Exactly.
If you don't finish your work or you destroy your work, is the end the same?
Yes.
Is that done? Interesting, isn't it? Okay.
Nothing
so they're kind of kindred spirits, sort of. All right. Okay.
Same outcome.
Same outcome, isn't it? Okay. Interesting. All right. Number 10. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runs into it and is safe. What's the idea of a strong tower? What's that?
Sturdy.
Place of refuge. Protection. We see the word safe in the second line. Okay? And the righteous runs into it. Did it say walk? It says runs, doesn't it? And because you've got that protection, that refuge, and all that's because of what? The guidance of the Lord, isn't it? The name of the Lord, the authority of the Lord, okay?
Because of who He is.
That's right, okay? It's a confidence that strong tower is going to be safe.
Well, it's like a lighthouse. The fishermen out on the boats look for that lighthouse to guide them.
Yeah, and if you have safe harbor is nearby, isn't it?
Yep.
Okay, all right. That's the number 11. Interesting, kind of the same thing again. A rich man's wealth is his strong city, and like a high wall in his own imagination. Yes, I stressed own there. All right? So a rich man's wealth is his strong city, and like a high wall in his own imagination. Where is his trust, the rich man?
His money.
Okay? And where is that trust? It's in his own imagination, isn't it? Okay? Is it truly a strong city?
No.
Is it truly a high wall?
No.
Okay? In the end, it isn't because. Okay?
Can vanish in a second.
That's right, because he's put his confidence and trust in that. All right? As opposed to the name of the Lord. All right? In 10. Let me say this. In a good sense, can you view your wealth as a high wall?
Well, it does offer you some protection from bad things.
Yes.
But you have to be careful that you don't put too much more confidence in that than your trust in God.
Okay. All right.
Even the walls of Jericho came down.
Yes, they did. 13. He who gives an answer before he hears, it is folly and shame to him. We kind of talked that over and over, haven't we? Okay? He gives an answer before he hears. He speaks without listening.
here's all the facts. He gets an ask for it, here's all the facts. That would be a judgment, couldn't it? Okay? And it is folly and shame to him. It reflects on him from others. He's viewed as folly, whatever it is, insulting, disrespectful, and shame to him. Okay? Because he likes to be heard. And he can't be humble in that situation. All right. Number 14. The spirit of a man can endure his sickness, but as for a broken spirit, who can hear it? Who can bear it? This goes back to the idea of having a good disposition, knowing who you are, trust, and the idea of being a broken spirit is out of being depressed or demoralized. Can you endure sickness? That's just pure physical sickness. Do you see it all the time in some hospitals and things? Mm-hmm. You know, you got to have the will to live.
Yes.
See?
Failure okay. to thrive.
Yes. And I think that's what this is really dealing with here. Spirit man can endure sickness, but as for a broken spirit, who can bear it? Okay? Whew, man. You know, if you don't have the will, you know, just it's hard people around you too.
A broken okay. spirit can't bear anything. That's, you know, they just tumble into total depression.
Yeah. Okay. And so that's something.
And actually, they commit suicide. You know.
Yeah, that's right. Suicide is self murder. Okay. All right. That's it. We'll start 15 on Wednesday. 15 on Wednesday. Okay. Thank you all very much. Good comments and good points. Okay. I know we didn't pick out your favorite verses on the questions. Yeah, we'll take that time. We'll come back and finish that 18. And we'll get into 19, looks like, too. All right.